Now, I'm sure you did notice it's a wonderful psalm. In fact, if you take verse 22, and if you were to take those words, "Arise, O God, plead thine own cause," how we need to be praying thus, if not in those exact words, well, in words similar, before the Lord every day of our lives at this time, that God would plead his own cause. Now, it is our cause because God has saved us. But what the enemies don't realize, what the blasphemers don't acknowledge, they don't acknowledge God. And therefore, for us to come before the Lord and to simply say in these words, "Lord God, arise, plead thine own cause." You see, those who take on the Christians, those who take on the Bible, those who take on the local church, those who take on the Christian faith, do not realize that they're taking on God. And when you take on God, you cannot win. It's a bad decision, a foolish decision, to get on the wrong side of the Lord. And what a psalm. And there's many verses we could refer to even as we read them tonight. And it's a great psalm. I would encourage you to read it again this coming week and to think much upon it. But tonight I want you to look at verse 20. That's our text tonight. And as I was saying this morning, I'm reading a book. It's a commentary on the larger catechism. And one of the questions, the man that wrote that book, he was giving some scripture texts just to prove what he was saying. And this was one of the texts in one of the questions. And when I looked at it, I immediately said to myself, there's a description of the world without the Bible. Look at it, verse 20. The psalmist is praying and he says, "Have respect unto the covenant." God's covenant. Now, whether he's referring there to the covenant God made with Abraham, or whether he's referring simply to the covenant of grace, well, either way, have respect unto the covenant. And then he says this, "For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." You could read that verse. You could meditate on that verse. You could have that verse opened before you in your Bible alongside a world map. A map of this world. And you would be able to see and trace those areas, those places in this earth and on this earth where God's word, the Bible, and the message of the Bible has gone forth, and there has flowed from that great blessing, not only spiritual blessing, but blessings in the field of social reform, educational reform, moral reform, and so many other blessings. But there are places in this world where there you have a description. The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. You see, the psalmist, he's praying to the Lord and he's saying to the Lord, "Have respect unto the covenant." And you see, there was in Israel a knowledge of that covenant. They had the word of God. They had the truths of the scripture. They had the law of God given on Mount Sinai. But as he prays, "Have respect unto the covenant," it's as if he turns then to other places in the earth and he says, "For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. And brothers and sisters and men and women, there you have a description of the world without the Bible. It's dark. It's dark without the light of God's Word. Because it's God's Word that reveals Christ, and He said, I am the light of the world. It is God's Word that reveals the Gospel, and the Bible says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious Gospel should shine into them. You see, darkness is the absence of light. Now, we're still enjoying the summer evenings, but in the winter time, when you leave church and you go home to your house and you put the key in the door and you open the door and you go to walk in, what's the first thing you do? If you've any sense, you switch on the light. And immediately you switch on the light, what happens? The darkness is dispelled. The darkness flees. There is no darkness. This was proved very vividly to me just a few weeks ago, because my brother is and has been since he was, as long as I can remember, and I'm 57. He is a member of Greenmill Street Loyal Orange Lodge 1363. And they keep the banner in my house, and they keep bits of the arch in my house. I should be charging them money for it. But the other night they came after, it was after the Somme parade, the 1st of July, and they left the banner poles just the length of my hall. And of course, some of it was so long it came across the door into the living room. And I says, that's no problem. And so when bedtime came, I very foolishly turned out the light in the living room, but didn't turn out the light on the hall or the stairs. And I went over the banner poles and done it twice too. So I didn't learn the first time. So I could have ended up in hospital. Can you imagine that? And people saying, what happened to you? Oh, I fell over the banner of Greenville Street, LOL 1363. But you see, when you turn on the light, the darkness flees. Darkness is the absence of light. And in a spiritual sense, and this is what the psalmist is speaking about, the dark places of the earth are those places where there is to a greater degree an absence of spiritual knowledge and an absence of spiritual light. Let's think about this for a moment tonight. Think about the individual person. We don't have to go to some foreign jungle or some foreign place. There are people who are living next door to us, and they're as dark as night. There's darkness in their heart, spiritual darkness. There is a darkness, a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Individuals, they are dark places in the earth if they don't have the light of God's truth and the light of God's Word. You know, it's amazing when man is in the dark what he will turn to. Without the Bible, without the knowledge of the Lord, he will turn to the most amazing and grotesque idolatry and real falsehood, and you'd have to say in many instances demonic. It was Calvin, I think, who said that Satan is the god of this world because he's the originator of every falsehood, and especially in spiritual things, the dark places of the earth. Individuals, and their hearts are dark places, and that they don't know the Lord, and they don't know the Gospel, and they don't know what the Bible is all about. and they haven't a clue, and their spiritual ignorance and their spiritual darkness. But then we can think even of communities. There are communities today, and you'd have to say that largely they are dark places. And sometimes there on the Lord's Day morning, you might be in a large housing estate, and you just take note of how many people are leaving their homes with their Bible to go to a gospel preaching church. And that community becomes a dark place. A dark place. We could think then of whole cities. Towns and cities. And without the Bible and the message of the Bible, there's gross darkness. But let me encourage you, because we think, and rightly so, that we're in a dark day. And I was saved in 1977, and I can remember going to big meetings. I remember a big circus tent in Bangor, and an evangelist from England had come over, and it was amazing, the crowds. I can remember going to hear Hedley Murphy in a tent in Carriduff. I can remember going up to Harryville, Ballymena, to hear Harold Paisley, Dr. Paisley's brother, among the brethren in a great gospel mission, and the place packed to capacity. I can remember going to the Iron Hall in 1980 and a great mission there with Pastor Willie Mullen, when many, many, many were saved, many UDA men saved, and loyalist paramilitaries were converted by the grace of God. And you know, we look at today and we think, oh, how different it is today. But I'll tell you this, read your history. Read what England was like before the evangelical awakening. Read what England was like before Wesley, the Wesley brothers in Whitfield, began their great work. It was a place of absolute sin. Gin shops were the order of the day. People were drunken. Vice was the order of the day. There was an awful situation in England. And yet the Lord blessed the efforts of those men and many others. And there came a great evangelical awakening. And it brought many into the kingdom of God. But not only that, it trickled its way into every aspect of society. And how God blessed. You see, the dark places of the earth. We can think of an individual, a community, a city. What about a country, a nation? Here's what gets on my goat. That's an Ulster Scots expression. These people who ring in talkback and write letters in the paper, and they are atheists, and they belong to the Ulster Humanist Society, and they write reams against us, against Christians, and against there was a wee man on the other night from Ardoyne, and boy was he giving off about people putting tracts through his letterbox. And would yous all go away? Would yous all shut up? Would you leave us alone? Sure, we've moved on from them days. Sure, those are things from the 16th century, and on they go. And with great arrogance and great pride, they denounce God, they denounce the Bible, they denounce the gospel, and so on. But here's the point I would make. And you say, if you ever come in contact with some of these people, say to them this: if you love atheism so much, away and live in North Korea. They'll not be queuing up to get the boat or the plane. Away and live in some of these communist countries. Away and live in a country where the Bible's not allowed. Away and live in a country where the gospel preaching is not allowed, and see how you get on. See, these people are living in this country, and this country has known the blessing of God, and even to this day. Although things are bad and there's an apostasy and there's a departing, yet we still recognize in our society the blessings that came when this book was translated into the common tongue, and men went forth and preached it from Land's End to John o' Groat's, and great blessing came. And you look at a map of the world, and you look at the United States, and you look at the United Kingdom, and other countries in the world, and where the Bible was known and was preached and was honoured. And remember this, we live in a country where the Bible has its place in our constitution. We have an unwritten constitution. But you read the coronation of a British monarch. You read about how when our Queen was crowned, the moderator of the Church of Scotland handed her a copy of the Bible. And she swore before God that she would be a faithful Protestant, and that that book would be her guide. And that's our land. That's our land constitutionally. Oh, the great light that came to this dark place. And all because of God's covenant, God's word, God's Christ, God's gospel. Do you see what the world would be like without the Bible? We'd all be living in North Korea. North Korea would be over here. Do you know even Richard Dawkins? Here's the strange thing. Even good old Richard Dawkins, Mr. Atheist himself, who's had a stroke, I understand, in recent times. He's not as able as he used to be to denounce God. You know, old Pharaoh, do you remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh said to Moses, when Moses went and said, "You're to let the people go. God, the Lord has said so." And Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" But he found out. He found out. When his horses and his soldiers gurgled their way to the bottom of the Red Sea, he found out who God is. Do you know Richard Dawkins has admitted, although he rages and he's written many books and probably made a lot of money out of the publishing of those books, yet he admits that perhaps it would be a bad thing if we got rid of Christianity altogether. Because you see, he knows deep down what it would be like without the Bible. He knows right well. He's an Oxford professor. Oh, you see, the world without the Bible would be an absolutely dark place. What distinguished Israel among the nations of the earth? And in fact, why did God give Israel Exodus and you read Leviticus and you read Numbers and Deuteronomy, and all those laws, and they're wonderful, and they're the perfect laws of God, and they were given to that nation to do what? To distinguish that nation in the earth. To set that nation apart, to exhibit the glory of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord in the laws that he gave. And Israel was a light in the midst of much darkness. The dark places of the earth are places where the light is not known. At least not to the extent that it's known in other places. But look what the text says secondly. Not only the dark places of the earth, but then it says this: have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. You know what that tells me? You can't get rid of God. You can't get rid of the Bible. You can't get rid of the laws of God. You can't get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't get rid of the gospel and then think that nothing much happens. That it's sort of, it's a neutral thing. Things will just go on anyhow. No. The Bible says the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. You know, God is gracious, of course. God in his grace restrains the worst many's a time that man can do. But I'll tell you this, read about Adolf Hitler. Read about the Nazis. Read about those men who turned to evolution, the survival of the fittest, and believed that any person who was weak, and of course they homed in on the Jewish people, any people with any kind of defect, the best thing to do was to put them to death so that the pure and the strong race would emerge. It's pure Darwinian evolution. But oh, the cruelty. Oh, the cruelty that came from that. You see, the dark places of the earth don't just remain, as it were, neutral. It has an effect. Just as Bible light has an effect on a person, on a community, on a city, and on a country, so the darkness, when the light is put out, when the Bible is not wanted, and when the Bible is kept from the people, what happens? Those dark places become the habitations of cruelty. Think of the cruelty in our nation. Did you notice something? You know, God's not mocked. And God has a way. Even in I've discovered this in my Christian life. Just be patient and wait. God has a way even of rebuking this world. Because on the one hand, in the last 2 weeks, we have watched a man and a woman, a husband and wife, going all the way to the Supreme Court to save the life of their little newborn child, their little baby, their little son. And they're wanting him to go to America because he might there receive some treatment that might help. And so the papers are behind them, and it's on the news every night, and this great struggle, and people outside with banners and with protest posters and all the rest of it. And there's that on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, millions are murdered in the womb. Isn't it amazing? Millions are murdered in the womb. You see, the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Think of the human heart without God's grace. Read in Mark chapter 7 how the Lord Jesus said, it's not what comes out of a man, it's not what goes into a man, it's what comes out of his heart. For out of the heart proceed. And there's this long list. And you know, we've had the 12th of July there, and I stood again and watched the procession, and lodge after lodge and band after band proceeds in front of your eyes, one after another. And that verse, and let's turn to it, Mark chapter 7, and those scriptures show us this great procession, but it's coming out of each human heart. And it's staggering, it's fearful, it's sobering. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and look at verse 20. Mark 7:20, and he, the Lord Jesus, said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And you know all man can do about that? You know all governments can do about that? Is build prisons and barstools. Do you know what the Lord Jesus can do about that? He can give a man, woman, a new heart. He can atone for all their sins. Every wicked sin named there, Christ's blood can make atonement. God's grace can forgive every one of those sins in your heart or mine. And praise God, he has, for many of us in the meeting. You see, the dark places of the earth, the places without the Bible, they're full of the habitations of cruelty. Think of the works of the flesh. And again in Galatians chapter 5, for time will not turn to it, but you have there the list of the works of the flesh. And listen, it's not as bad as it could be because God restrains. But if man keeps saying to God, go, God may say, right, I'll go. And we'll see how you get on. You know what happens? It becomes like the days of Noah. And it becomes like the days of Lot. The world without the Bible. But notice something lastly in that verse 20 of Psalm 74. It says, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. You know, men and women, God is long-suffering. God is gracious. God restrains the worst at times. But there are times when man's cup of iniquity is full and God acts. Let me show you that. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Now let me tell you this. There are times when people may say to you, you believe in the God of the Bible and the God of the Old Testament, but sure, didn't he send all those Jews into that land of Canaan, and didn't they kill men, women and children? And didn't your God tell them to do that? And this is cast up to us. Well, the answer to that, of course, is that the life and death of any man is in the hands and the sovereign hands of the Lord. And how someone dies is in the hands of the Lord. I don't know how I'll die. And neither do you, but it's in the hands of the Lord. Every man's death, every woman's death, just as her birth. I had no say where I was going to be born. But I'm glad I was born where I was born, in a land that has known the light of God's word. But here's the reason why that judgment fell on the inhabitants of Canaan. Yes, God did give that command, and God was using the Hebrew people to fulfill his will. But why was it? Well, look at Leviticus chapter 18, and look at verse 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan whither I bring you shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Now come down to verse 24. Now there's a long list there. To read that list, it would be just terrible tonight, but you read it when you go home, because there's the world without the Bible. There's the dark, there's the heart without gospel light. But look at verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. That's the things he's mentioned. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. You see, those nations, you read those nations, the Amorites, the Hittites, and so on. They had gone to the depths of depravity and their cup of iniquity had filled. It was now time God was going to act. And so he says in verse 25, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Such was the sin, such was the practices, such was the depravity that it made the very land sick. And it vomited out the inhabitants and gave them up to God's judgment. Oh, there's a time when man's cup of iniquity fells. It happened in the days of Noah. It happened in the days of Lot. God help us if it happens in our day and in our land. But in closing, notice again verse 20 and the first part of it. He says, have respect unto the covenant. What's he doing? He's standing in the gap. He's making up the hedge. And he's pleading before the Lord that the Lord would remember. That the Lord would remember. That the Lord would have respect. It says unto the covenant. But surely we could put in there unto the Bible. Unto your word. Unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as if he's saying, Lord, I don't want this land to become a dark place full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, thank God, our land has known the power of the Bible. We're going to celebrate and are celebrating this year that great event when Martin Luther nailed his theses to the door at Wittenberg and set in motion what has become known as the Great Protestant Reformation. And oh, the blessing that flowed into many, many lands. Spiritual blessing, yes, but also social blessing, moral blessing, educational blessing. So many blessings. Because the Bible was, as it were, let loose. And the Bible had a great impact and its message upon the lives of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people across Europe. Sadly, we're going back to the days when people offered their children to Moloch, that god. They encased their little ones in a brass case and put it on the fire. Today it's called abortion. And again, we're back to offering even infants to false gods. May God have respect unto his covenant. Brother and sister, let us plead before God that he would arise and he would deal with his enemies. That he would plead his cause. And let us get the Bible out, get the word out, get the message. I often think to myself, if a lot of people where I live and where you live, if only they knew what was in the Bible. Oh, they read a wee article somebody wrote that the Bible's myth. But oh, if they only knew what was in God's holy word. Let us bow our heads and let us pray and seek the Lord. The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. But the sad thing is, places that knew the light are now turning away from that light. And there's only trouble coming. There's only trouble coming for them. Judgment coming. But God is on the throne. And the God who worked in the past can work in our present day.